Good afternoon. Welcome to Quality of Life, the radio show. And actually, it's the final Quality of Life radio show. We're going to be taking a vacation from radio for a little bit. Unfortunately, I'm very sad about that, but it's happening. So this will be a great last show for now. We'll be back. I'm sure we'll be back. This show is sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center. It's co-hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan, who's co-hosting from afar today. He's not in the studio. We may be hearing from him. He had much more important things to do. And Veronica Sternitsky from the Ronald Zach Law Firm is here. Hello, Veronica.
Hello.
And we're going to be having a guest today. It's Renee Paulting from the Arizona Correspondence Society is going to be joining us in the next quarter after we do some other things. You can join us anytime. You can call into the show at 520-790-2040. 520-790-2040 is the number to join the conversation on Quality of Life Radio. We begin the show, as we often do, with some uninformative and useless news that we enjoy. And this is Medical and Legal News You Can't Use, presented by Veronica Sternitsky.
Good afternoon. So, starting off, I have a couple follow-ups from previous news stories that we mentioned on this show. First, the world's oldest dog has been posthumously stripped of his title by Guinness World Records. He had been reported to be 31 years old when his breed typically lived 14 years in that ballpark. But it's believed that he did not clear 29 years, that there was some sort of error or untruthful comment. And so his title has been removed.
Well, dogs have been known to lie about their age.
I mean, you know what they say, you let those sleeping dogs lie, so.
Right, right.
Thank you. On a second follow-up story, a while back we talked about the London Zoo moving some potty-mouthed parrots to be closer to other parrots to try and improve their speech and clean up their foul mouths. And apparently the zoo officials are saying it worked.
Really?
Yeah, that the potty-mouthed parrots are doing better. They're not quite as foul-mouthed as they had been, and they're swearing much less.
Bad association ruins good character.
Would that work for attorneys?
It might. Of course, it might work the other way, too, and cause more attorneys to swear. And do we need that? Well, shifting on other animal stories, you get animal stories because I like them. So, an Arizona woman found a rattlesnake hiding under her welcome mat recently. I believe this is in Phoenix, yep. And apparently it was just staying out of the way, hiding under her welcome mat, and had to be removed by specialized personnel.
Sounds to me like a demonstration of hypocrisy.
I don't think everyone was quite as welcome as that mat would entail.
Who are those specialized personnel?
The fire department.
They could just do just about anything.
You know, they are definitely a group of people who seem to be able to solve most situations.
Years of sliding down poles.
You know, the specialty tool they use in getting people unstuck from many, many things?
What is that, Charles?
Leatherman?
Dish soap.
Really?
It gets people unstuck because it has great lubricity, qualities of lubricity, and people who often get their heads, like when children get their heads stuck in fence railings and things like that, a liberal dose of Joy dishwashing liquid and pulling on the bars just a little tiny bit and pushing on the kid usually results in a red mark on the ears, but the kid being freed from said fence rails. Having been a child, I'll admit, at age four at the Museum of Natural History or Science and Industry in Chicago, who got liberated thusly from the bars around the Foucault pendulum.
We probably had you in kitty jail.
Well, they were kind of happy I was there for a while, I suppose.
Yeah. At the gem show this year, I had to get some lotion from a lady to get a ring off my hand that got stuck.
You sure you didn't just want to take that ring?
Well, I kind of did, but it was too small.
Fair. So a stingray at a North Carolina aquarium recently was found to be pregnant. The interesting part, though, is there were no male stingrays in the exhibit. It was all female stingrays. So it's not clear if this is some immaculate conception, if the stingray somehow managed to, I don't know, clone herself. Something happened.
Somebody snuck out or snuck in.
Interesting.
Well, and she was over 2,300 miles away from her Southern California natural environment, so it's not likely she had a visitor.
Better check the frequent flyer miles on all similar animals.
So, quite possibly my favorite story for today, Florida doctors recently removed 150 live bugs from a man's nose. This included dozens and dozens of larvae who were apparently breeding in his sinus cavity. Some as big as your pinky. The image, which I unfortunately cannot show you, is truly horrendous.
Show us.
Well, I'll show the studio audience where it says graphic image.
Graphic, oh, jeez. So the other day I was talking to a new patient. I was gathering history. The patient was a retired pharmacist. And as part of the history, he told me, noses run in my family. That's what he said. It's a pharmacist joke, I guess.
That's marvelous. Well, apparently, these bugs have been sent off to epidemiologists to help determine what was going on and why they were breeding in this man's nasal cavity. In more human-centered news, a West African tribe's king has had to return to British Columbia for work. He had left British Columbia in Canada, where he had grown up and was working as a gardener, to go back home to Africa when his uncle died and left him the role of king of this group of people, around 6,000 people in the tribe. And he's lived there for 3 years, has a wife and a small son, but has decided to go back to Canada to pursue better business opportunities. So hopefully it is easier for him to raise his son in a place where he can make a little more money.
Was that one of your favorite stories too?
No, that one was good, but it wasn't as good as the bugs in the nose.
Okay. So, wondering what order these are in.
They're in the order of I click on them. So a U.S. man is apparently suing Powerball after he claims numbers were posted on the website showing that he won when he didn't really win. So he is suing for some form of emotional distress. It's not clear in the article which form that is, but.
So what are his chances from a legal point of view?
I don't expect he would have super strong chances of winning. This seems like a bit of a stretch to me. And usually for emotional distress, you have to show some form of financial loss. So he hasn't lost anything.
There was a statement made by the state regarding his case.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I have it here.
Oh, well. Sorry about that, Chief.
Missed it by that much.
So while I wish him all the best, I would not hold high hopes for him being successful in his seeking compensation. And finally, in archaeological news, scientists have found, by scanning the seafloor, a Stone Age megastructure. It's in the Baltic Sea, so when the sea levels were lower, it would have been above water. And it seems to be a stone structure designed to funnel game towards a cliff face, thus making it easier for hunters to get all the animals in one place and dispatch them.
Dispatch.
Kill. You know, where were
For the people in Marana.
Where were the undersea archaeologists on career day? That just sounds like an amazing, amazing job. Scuba diving and...
Undersea archaeologists.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you get into that?
Well, it's not too late.
There you go.
You're a young woman.
I could go. I could try to scuba dive for archaeology.
You could. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with our guest and God knows who else.
Is sciatica leg pain affecting your life? Doctors at Quality of Life Medical Research are conducting a study of an investigational new treatment to provide long-term relief without steroids or opioids. You must be between 18 and 70, have had radiating leg pain in the past 8 weeks, no recent injections or steroids, and be able to visit the study center over a 12-month period. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333 for more information or an appointment. Compensation provided. 520-731-2333. Clinical research helps answer important questions about new medications, devices, and vaccines. To learn more about upcoming studies, call 520-731-2333.
Now, don't be shocked, but sometimes family members don't agree how things should go after a death. This is especially true when money or valuable property is involved. If you find yourself in the unfortunate situation where a sibling or even a stepchild seems to be acting contrary to the wishes of the person who died, you may need an experienced local probate attorney to advocate for your rights. Find out. Call Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738 or contact Ronald Zach Law at ronaldzachlaw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life, the radio show, the final show of Quality of Life Radio. And it's co-hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan, who's the CEO of Quality of Life Medical and Research Center, and Ronald Zach of Ronald Zach Law and Quality of Life Medical and Research Center, and Veronica Sternitsky of Ronald Zach Law and God knows what else.
We'll see what the future holds.
We will. And we do. And Dr. McGettigan has called in. Hello, Dr. McGettigan.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon. Are you...
Airborne?
You're in a loud place.
Well, yeah, I'm driving, unfortunately. I had to go watch the Wildcats beat the Washington Huskies.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know. It was horrible.
So we have here...
For the dogs.
The dogs?
The Huskies.
No, Huskies.
Oh, they're dogs.
But you guys, if I'm making too much noise, just turn me off and I'll listen and interject maybe later.
Okay. It's very nice to hear from you. Drive safely and pay attention to the road.
Yeah, don't need any traffic tickets.
Yeah, no. Don't run over any dogs.
Text me if you want your mic up.
Okay. So we've got our guest today, Renee Paulting, is someone I've known for a while, but Renee, you have a nonprofit that you have founded and you run.
Right. I am the executive director and founder of the Arizona Correspondence Society. And we got our official designation in 2019, right before COVID hit.
And so is this like an email listserv?
No, it's a lot more than an email. As a matter of fact, we only email to let you know when we're having our letter socials. But it started off because I am an avid letter writer. And I was going around town holding what I call letter socials at like libraries and different businesses and nursing homes, and wanted to start working at schools and with children to teach them how to write letters, and found it much easier when you are a nonprofit to go into the schools, and that's how we became a nonprofit. But we had, and still do, monthly letter socials where we open up the doors of wherever and have writing supplies, and we teach people how to write letters, or sometimes people come in, haven't written a letter in a long time, and have that opportunity again. And definitely when we go to the schools, we have the children's letter socials, and we teach kids how to write letters and postcards, and we take them to different places and teach them the etiquettes of writing, and they get to practice their handwriting and their art skills as well. And that's how we got started.
And is there a website for this organization?
Yes. It's ArizonaCorrespondenceSociety.org, O-R-G.
So. ArizonaCorrespondenceSociety.org.
Correct.
Okay. And is there a phone number?
Yes, we actually do have a phone number. It's 520-261-0369. And you can call us, or you can get on our website and use our contact page, or you can actually just write us a letter. And we have a P.O. Box 35772, Tucson, Arizona, 85704.
I was going to ask if we could write you a letter. So I guess you can. So you needed to become a nonprofit to get into schools?
Well, it's a lot easier to work with schools. I was doing some volunteer work, but when we were going into a variety of schools, because I have classes that are first graders, seventh graders, fourth graders, a variety in different schools, it was much easier to pass safety, to say I'm not just someone off the street volunteering on my own, but actually am working under an umbrella, and we get our supplies. And it was nicer for when people donated supplies for us to use at the schools, that they would get a tax write-off as well. So
is there anything you're looking for that you'd like donated?
Well, I will never say no to fountain pens. That is for sure. And the ink that goes with it, which I actually, that's probably our biggest donation, is people give us their old fountain pens, and students love to learn how to write with them. And back when we were going into nursing homes or care homes, using the fountain pens, because they're a little bit wider, the elders like using them. It was easier to use, and it was kind of a blast from the past. And who doesn't like writing with a fountain pen? Truly, right? So there you be. So fountain pens are good, and paper. We'll take paper of all types, and envelopes and vintage. And the other thing that we like to take in are old letters. We do lost letters that people find or have or are going to get rid of. And if it's from a veteran, someone from the military, we actually will scan them and put them into a database over at UCLA so that people can find those letters later on in life.
Now, Charles, do you have a question?
Do you have a favorite place from which to get fountain pens?
Oh, you know, I like, my favorite place is, and it's because it's in Chicago, it's the Atlas Stationery Store. They carry just about everything.
Where in Chicago, do you know?
You know, that's a good question. I just know it as in Chicago, and I know that I can get in a taxi and say, take me to the Atlas, and they just take me there. So I'm, you know what? I don't know. I'd have to look that up.
Don't worry. I'm doing it now.
Oh, perfect. But they know me well. They pull your order on video, and they always say it's going to the Arizona Correspondent Society, and they pull it, and they usually stick a couple of extra bottles of ink, and then I just share it with other writers and my students.
From the pictures, it looks like it's right down the street from Iwin Reese Tobacconists.
I don't know that place.
On Wabash.
Oh, yes.
Atlas Stationers, that's clearly on Wabash. That's the Lake Street L there. So that's clearly on Wabash in Chicago. I'll get the address.
Wonderful.
So yeah.
It's on Lake.
Street, yeah. Well, yeah.
Lake and Wabash.
Lake Street L, yeah.
Lake and Wabash.
I'm hoping to go in August because that's their big sale, and they have a lot of workshops during that time, and everything is out on the streets in Chicago in August. Isn't too bad.
No, it's not terrible. 227 West Lake Street, you're right, Ron. And it has a 312, which means it's south of Division Street.
Oh, there you go.
And Roberta wants to know if you're still on the board of the Arizona... The elder organization, what is it?
Oh, PCOA?
PCOA.
No, I termed out from that board.
Okay.
So you mentioned Letter Socials. What is that?
Well, Letter Socials started off with me at a table with a big sign that says, when was the last time you wrote a letter? And I would get a lot of different people that would just sit down and needed help or didn't have stationery or don't go buy stamps or don't want to buy just one stamp. So we always have your writing supplies, which would be stationeries, envelopes, stamps. We'll always mail off your first two letters for you and we'll stamp them up and help you find the zip code. When we first started and we were doing some at the U of A, we found a lot of U of A students didn't know the difference between an area code and a zip code. So we were teaching them that. We give them writing prompts. We carry books around too. And it's just a really mindful practice. And it grew to when we started doing them to people just knowing, hey, the Correspondence Society is going to be at this location, and for a while it was at the Summit Hut community room, and people would just stop by to write a letter or to teach their kids how to write a letter or just to see what supplies we have. And we had some vintage typewriters, although are all typewriters now vintage?
Probably.
Yeah. So we have those available. So if you want to type out a letter, and we just don't have any electronics unless we're looking up a zip code. Then we do it by our iPad.
Electric or manual typewriters?
Manual typewriters. We don't do electric.
And I believe there is a print publication that has zip codes.
Well, I try to get one from the U.S. Postal Service, my office, and they wouldn't give me one. So they said, it's online. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, Mr. Zip is always there. So we have that available. You know, you can look it up on the designated iPad for the community rooms.
Do you have Alexa?
No, we don't use Alexa. We don't have, we really try to go analog with this to get the full experience and get people into a more mindful space and utilizing more muscles, your hands, besides, you know, when you're using a computer touchpad or a computer keyboard, you're moving very few muscles and you're not even firing up your brain completely. You use your frontal lobe a lot more with writing and especially with handwriting. So we encourage
I've used
that.
Up my frontal lobe. I don't use it anymore.
No. It's burned out, huh?
It's burnt out.
You do a lot of writing, handwriting.
I do. Yeah. And I use a fountain pen.
Yes.
And I use a disposable fountain pen. That's my favorite because it requires no maintenance. And that's my issue with fountain pens. They have to be maintained.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That takes takes work, and I sometimes see Veronica will lick the tip of her pen.
You do what you got to do to make it work. You
get the flow going.
That's the female way, anyway. Yeah. Men would spit on it.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it's but these disposable fountain pens. The last deal that I got were some unnamed, unbranded Chinese pens, 12 of them for $9.99.
Yeah, but they got spyware.
Well, they do have spyware, and they probably have some cyanide or anthrax or something on them. But
and that's the $12 ones.
Yeah. But they're great.
They're a great way to get used to writing with a fountain pen, too, before wanting to spend money on something a little nicer. Yeah.
Well, let me ask Veronica, because she's probably the youngest person in the building.
Oh, that's scary.
Did when you were in school, grade school, and learning how to write, did you have a fountain pen?
I did not. Yeah, and we used ballpoint pens and pencil.
Yeah. See, we had cartridge pens. They were always cartridge pens. Charles is nodding. Charles had a feather quill pen.
I did, but it had a 22 in the other end.
Well, I know that in Sells, at their school in Sells, the high school there, there's an English teacher that gives fountain pens to all our students, and they have to write their paper with the fountain pen. I don't know if she's still doing that.
Interesting.
And then in Sierra Vista, at their high school, there is a math teacher that rewards his students with a fountain pen. So we sometimes will donate those pens to them so that they can go along.
We're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, the one in Sells has a website, too. It's methuselahsdaughter.com.
Now, don't be shocked, but sometimes family members don't agree how things should go after a death. This is especially true when money or valuable property is involved. If you find yourself in the unfortunate situation where a sibling or even a stepchild seems to be acting contrary to the wishes of the person who died, you may need an experienced local probate attorney to advocate for your rights. Find out. Call Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738 or contact Ronald Zach Law at ronaldzachlaw.com.
What is a clinical research study? It's a study that helps answer important questions such as, is it safe? Does it work? Are there side effects? How does it compare to other medicines? All medicines must be tested in clinical research studies before approval. Without people taking part in studies, we would not have new medicines. These studies involve clinic visits and are compensated. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333. That's 520-731-2333 or QLMC.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to, I almost said Law Review Radio. It's Quality of Life Radio.
Sort of.
Yeah, kind of. We're the goal of the show is to kind of combine medicine and law and to talk about medical issues, legal issues, and I think it's a great concept. And we also talk about just any kind of issues at all. And if you're having issues, you can call Dr. Veronica. But we're open to everything. We don't pretend to know anything.
Then there's always Dr. Mo, Dr. Larry, and Dr. Curley.
That's true. And there's Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe.
Yeah.
My old law firm. So are fountain pens making a comeback? Is this a big deal?
Fountain pens have always been there, but there definitely was a comeback when COVID hit in 2020 and writing came back. And people started to be more particular about the paper they chose. Even Crane paper, which is one of the few stationery makers here in the U.S., was floundering, and 2020 hit, and they made a comeback, and people are using nice stationery and fountain pens, and fountain pen inks of all varieties are really popular. And so it's my favorite thing to write with, and I'm always getting different fountain pens and saying I don't need another one, but sure enough, I'll get it anyways.
and so the fountain pen thing just is kind of part of the letter writing thing.
Right. You know, with letter writing, people like to write with fountain pens, but there are a lot of artists that are using writing letters to decorate the envelopes, putting paintings on the envelopes, are using block prints, really changing up. And we've seen a lot of stickers. And another thing that's gotten very popular is using a wax seal has come back. And so we, you know, if you get a letter from us, you'll probably have not only stickers and washi tape and a wax seal. It's made with fountain pen ink, with a fountain pen, and we'll even watercolor some sort of design on top of it.
Can royalty be far behind?
I don't know. You know, I did have a friend who you can write the White House and they will always write you back. And sometimes it will even be a handwritten letter. It just depends on how nice your letter is. But you always have a hand signature. I always recommend to schools to have their kids write the president. They'll get a presidential letter back. Other things that we do with the kids is Arizona is the only USPS system that has the Pony Express. So every year we have a bunch of cowboys that are made U.S. Postal System employees for the 4 days that they're riding from Holbrook down to Scottsdale, and then carrying letters from all over the world, and they get a special postmark on them saying that it was done by the Pony Express in Arizona, and then it gets shipped in Scottsdale. So, and then we did do one that was a big failure. We sent postcards on a rocket to get the stamp to say this postcard was from outer space, and I guess Amazon failed to launch that rocket.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, well, we have a call. Gary from Bisbee is on the line.
Oh. Hi, Gary.
Hello. In this research of having the time to look into the writing, I have a set of my grandfather's pens that you dip into an inkwell. Is that what you're referring to as fountain pens?
No, those are actually dip pens that they do have a nib on them, and fountain pens have nibs on them, but they look like a regular pen. They usually have a cap, although there are some that are specialized a little bit different, but the ink is carried inside of the pen and they can be drawn up. But otherwise, if you're dipping it into an inkwell, they're called dip pens. And those, if they're from your grandfather, you know, they could be, we were using them quite on the norm up until about 1930s, and then we started seeing a lot more fountain pens and the regular rollerball pens.
I like what they call them now is calligraphy for artists.
Yes.
That's what they use. Did you see any research that showed people taking an interest back in that aged art of using those type of dipping pens to do artwork, or like you were saying, to decorating their envelopes?
Yes, actually, Arizona has a huge calligraphy society. They meet up in Phoenix. We used to have one here in Tucson for Southern Arizona, which I think is coming back, but we have lots of calligraphers. And as a matter of fact, there's a lot of calligraphy groups that meet online that have tutorials as well. And even if you come to the Arizona Correspondence Society letter socials, you will find people using dip pens, including myself. And I'll use a glass nib to do that as well. I love calligraphy, and I like to practice it quite a bit.
I do find it exercising what you were calling regarding the use of keyboards, the manual. There's a lot of concentration of motor skills to your mind, because I just was having a difficult time using that. I do adore those older type avenues, but it takes a lot of focus, and the pen will bleed out if you're not careful.
Yes. Yep. You have to have a lot of control and a lot of practice with that. The calligraphy writing is just a variety of strokes that are together, or one at a time, hooked together. And when we write in handwritings, the reason why it's done so fast is it's just one long stroke that we're using.
Final thing, was COVID a source of the regeneration of our youth wanting to learn cursive writing again?
I kind of think so. I go to Lineweaver Elementary School here in Tucson on a monthly basis, and I've been there for a few years, and so my first graders that I started off with are now fourth graders, and they are letter writers, and they're writing their friends and practicing their handwritings. And I know I have a grandson who's 6 years old who writes better than most lawyers in town. His penmanship is just perfect.
That's not a compliment, comparing him to lawyers.
Well, if you saw it, he's pretty good. I think a lot of kids are doing that, learning that art. And it's definitely a muscle movement that it hasn't been practiced a lot. And kids get it with gaming. But when COVID came on, I decided to go back to school. And my research project was finding out that all this electrical reading that we do, the typing that we do, we're not using our brains like we should. And for little kids, they're actually losing a lot of skills and not gaining any critical thinking skills by doing that, because you do get that with writing quite a bit.
All right. Thank you for that insight, and y'all have a great afternoon.
Thank you for calling
us. You too.
Us.
Thanks so much for listening and for calling. When Charles was young in school, and they used those cartridge pens, there was on the desk, there was a little hole, and we never used that hole for anything. We dropped trash through it or something, but it was for a bottle of ink, I was told.
Yes.
Yep.
So did they? Prior to us, did the people who used to use those desks, were they using the dip pens?
Yes, they were using dip pens, and before that, they were using chalk and slate, because it's expensive at the time, but they use iron gall ink, and if you go up to Madera Canyons and the different canyons, you can find the oak galls and make your own ink as well, and people used to do it that way. You can make ink at just about anything. I've used tea for ink. I'll use coffee for ink.
A waste of good coffee.
Well, I don't know. It just depends on the coffee.
That's a
some would argue that coffee is a waste of writing ink.
Yeah, so just a staining is what it is. And, we teach kids that you don't have to have expensive equipment to write a letter. The most expensive thing is the stamp. And you can even, if you have a nice postman and you go up and say, I just need a stamp, and it's your child doing it, chances are that postman's going to do it for them. And if he goes to a letter social of ours, we'll definitely put the stamp on and even take it to the post office.
There are a surprising number of companies online that sell this product. The largest manufacturer, believe it or not, is the large Gold Spot is one of them. I do business with Gold Spot pens, but Hub Pen is another huge one. There's one called the Goulet Pen Company, or Goulet, if you want.
Goulet.
Yeah. Yep.
And the online pen company, which is an odd combination of online and fountain pen ink. And Pen Heaven is another, Lamy. and Colorado Pen. There just are really a surprising amount of suppliers for this throughout the United States, so it really is not a dead art.
No. In Arizona, we actually have four very big pen suppliers, Pen Chalet, and we have a couple that manufacture pens here in Arizona up in Scottsdale as well.
Well, where else?
Yeah. But Kingman has a spot that sells. And if you go to any of the thrift shops and look around, you may find a vintage pen. And there are people here in Tucson that can help you with that. And if you go to our fountain pen club, because we do have one, and you have a pen that isn't working right, there's usually someone there that can help you out, get you going. But honestly, you can YouTube it and get it done.
So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back with our guests, with some more of our guests on Arizona Correspondent Society.
I can do all things through Leatherman.
Is sciatica leg pain affecting your life? Doctors at Quality of Life Medical Research are conducting a study of an investigational new treatment to provide long-term relief without steroids or opioids. You must be between 18 and 70, have had radiating leg pain in the past 8 weeks, no recent injections or steroids, and be able to visit the study center over a 12-month period. Call Quality of Life Medical Research at 520-731-2333 for more information or an appointment. Compensation provided. 520-731-2333. Clinical research helps answer important questions about new medications, devices, and vaccines. To learn more about upcoming studies, call 520-731-2333.
Have you been told that you need a trust to avoid probate? Not true. Have you been told that a trust will always avoid probate? That's not true either. If avoiding probate is your goal, I can help you with an estate plan that avoids probate after your death without the extra work and expense of a trust. If you need a trust for other reasons, I can help with that too. Learn the truth about trusts.
You can reach Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738. That's 999-3738 or ronaldzachlaw.com.
Welcome back. This is the final episode of Quality of Life Radio Show, sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center, and co-hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan and Ronald Zach, both from Quality of Life. Ronald Zach, of course, is also from Ronald Zach Law. And here with Veronica Sternitsky from Ronald Zach Law. And Veronica, the other day, was complaining to me, weren't you, about the price of postage stamps?
Was I? It sounds like me, but I don't recall.
So you wanted to ask our guest a question about that?
Were you going to say, when was the last time it was raised, which was just a month ago? Everybody's complaining. We have, since 2016, have had raises in the price of stamps and different services, and it's now 68 cents to mail a letter under 1 ounce. It's not that bad. And you know what? I was knowing that this would probably come up. I did a little bit of research on it. We usually every 6 months, you will see a price go up for a while. The U.S. Postal System, even though it is a branch of the U.S. government, it is self-funded. It receives no tax money whatsoever. What they make is what they use. And until that changes, we'll probably see some prices going up. But it is a lot less expensive than other countries. I have friends all over the world, and when they tell me how much they pay, some up to $2. I have a friend up in Portugal who I sent him a package. I pay for the postage, I pay for the tariffs, I paid for everything. And in order for him to have it, receive it from his post box, he had to pay an additional $15.
Oh, wow.
Because it was not from the EU system. Huh. So, and I have other friends that are paying $2, $3 for a letter. So I'm not going to complain about 68 cents. And with inflation, it is actually the same cost as when we first started paying 2 cents a letter back in the early 1800s. So
when did they start selling forever stamps?
Oh, that's something I don't know.
It was forever ago.
Yeah, it was forever ago.
It was around 2007, 2008.
Yeah. See, I knew I should have bought more.
Yeah. Whenever I know there's a hike going up, I go to the post office and I just grab as many forever stamps. And I hate to say I'm hoarding because I use quite a bit of stamps.
You're stockpiling. There's a difference.
I'm stockpiling. My kids use them, and when I go to different events, and because we do postage, we'll do that. And we also, as a correspondence society, we also have vintage stamps available, and that's one of our fundraisers, is that if you want to have vintage stamps and want to utilize them and do the math, we can sell you some stamps. And it's a small amount that goes to us, but it's actually a lot of fun, and we see a lot of people enjoying that.
Well, we're going to go back to pens for a second because Mark has a question about, or has a statement or comment or something about pens. Mark, thank you for listening and for calling.
Well, thank you so much for your show. And I can't believe it. You're going to go away. And I'm going to be very sad about that.
I'm so sorry, too. But we'll be back.
And of course, your news that you cannot use, one of my favorite things. And I'm going to miss that. Speaking of that, where do you get your stories? I looked up the guy with the bug paradise, blew up his nose.
Quite honestly, and I have a saved Google search for crazy news. And that was the quoted words. So.
Okay.
Say the magic word and win a prize.
And I read the New York Post.
Cool. The New York Post thing? Okay,
New York Post is good.
After your shows, I looked some things up, and you got to be careful what you look up.
Yes, because the FBI ever wants to...
He's not wrong. Looking up cartridge pens, I came up with all kind of vaping stuff. And it's like, ink cartridge and research.
Yeah. So when I was in middle school, I had the cartridge, calligraphic pens or whatever they were called back then. And not too long after I started trying to use these things, I figured out that you could turn them into an ink squirt gun. And, of course, that got ink everywhere. And it was a big mess. But I very much enjoy using my phone app that has the calligraphy notes that I can take on my Samsung Note 8. And the main reason why I bought it, so I could write notes on my phone. And so I use that. And... the thing that I like most about that app is that I can just click the undo button, and I don't spoil the whole text. You cannot do that with an actual calligraphy fountain pen.
No, the nice thing about writing, though, there are people that journal, and they journal to themselves, but when you write a letter to someone, you're asking them to bear witness to your life, essentially. And it's the one time that you really do connect with them, and you don't know how long they're going to keep their letters. I have letters from a lot of pen pals from decades, and I have found lots of lost letters from all over. And I keep them, and I learn so much about them. One of my favorite letters is, I found in a thrift shop in a hospital belonging bag stuffed in a drawer of a dresser that was being sold. And I found all this paper, and I asked them if I could buy it. And they said, oh, just take it. Otherwise, we're just going to throw it away. And in it was letters from two sisters who went across the ocean on a ship with Charlie Chaplin. And I ended up with his autograph, the men used from the ship. Also, they went to see the coronation of King Edward, I believe the one who gave up his...
Edward the Fifth.
Yeah. They went to see him and his coronation and had all of the paraphernalia that was being given out during that time was found there. And there's no way that I would ever... throw that away, but you know, some families never want it, and I have a lot of letters from veterans from World War II explaining what they're going to. And one of the things I noticed in all of those letters were these veterans were basically almost begging their families to write them, and it was sad to hear. And they were saying how important it is to see someone's hand to know that that had been with their family. And that's not the same when you do a text message or an email. It's kind of impersonal. I mean, how many emails do you print off and keep? As opposed to, I bet you somewhere in your house you have a birthday card that someone sent you, or a Christmas card, or a letter, a personal letter, and you've kept it for one reason or another. So it's a much more personal. You're certainly using a lot more brain cells when you do that. I know. And it's so easy to erase it, and then it's gone forever.
I'm trying to preserve brain cells. I have
entire file drawer full of letters from my dad.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, letters are, we talked about this before, are kind of a way to pass down your ethics, like an ethical will. You learn so much about your family through letters. So I would always encourage you to write one here and there, even if it's just one a year, and see who he sent it. When we do our letter socials, I always feel bad when someone says, I don't know who to write, don't have anyone to write. And so there's a lot of organizations that will take your letters and pass them off to someone, usually someone that's been deployed that isn't receiving mail. The armed forces will distribute a letter to them from you.
Well, most of mine from my dad start with, hey, parentheses, one of the seven words you can't say from the FCC.
And... don't forget our friends in prison.
Yep. You can. There are organizations that will help you right there, hook you up with a pen pal. And there are lots of pen pal organizations. And there's one, it's called Post Crossing, with people that just exchange postcards, one-time postcards. So you don't have to do it more than once, but you'll receive postcards from all over the world.
Wow. So... can you repeat your phone number again?
So if you want to contact the Arizona Correspondence Society, you can call 520-261-0369. Or you can email the Arizona Correspondence Society at gmail.com if you want to do it that way.
What if you want to send them a letter?
If you want to send a letter, you could do our P.O. Box of P.O. Box 35772, Tucson, Arizona, 85704.
Renee Paulting, thank you so much for being on the show today and for closing out our final show. We're going to miss our show a lot. We're going to be back. We will just watch for us in one form or another here on AM 1030, my favorite radio station. Thank you so much. Thanks to Charles Heller.
And, it's all right.
And Tom Buchanan and everybody else here. Thanks so much. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, Renee.
Thank you.
I'm going to take board ops privilege here for just a moment. There isn't anybody who is easier to work with than you guys in terms of being flexible and being being nice about the way you do things and about, you know, paying the bill and things like that, that really make it easy to do business with somebody.
We pay for this?
Yeah. Well, Dr. McGettigan does in any case. But I just got to tell you, there just isn't any more fun relationship. It's equal with really good professionals. You and Bruce are to some extent the same way. They're easy to do business with people. And I really appreciate that in radio.
Thank you so much, Charles.
It has been fun working with you.
It has. And Veronica, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
All right, guys. That's all. That's all, folks.